Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're back with the second installment. Trey, are you there?
I'm here.
Trey's back. And, man, it's been it took us a minute to get this one started back up. Still a little wet behind the ears using this equipment. But the Lord's greater, and he's going to show us how to work this thing with excellence. But, man, let's hop right into it. This is the second episode of the Choose to Joy broadcast. And on the first one, which if you haven't listened to it, then make sure you go back and check it out. But Trey has a powerful anointing on scaring the hell out of people from marrying the wrong person. And so it was going through what led him to have such an anointing on his life to scare you from making the wrong decision of marrying the wrong person. And it started out, we recapped two pivotal relationships in his life. And the first one, he was a teenager. I think he was, 15 years old?
Yeah, 14, 15, yep.
14, 15. It was the summer of his going into his eighth grade year, and he got sexually active with a girl. She was very pretty, very beautiful. I think he gave her a 10 or almost 10. And that was having sex every day.
Man, it was, again, I don't want to over-exaggerate, but pretty close to it, man. It wasn't many days missed, you know. We simply spent every day together, man, because we were too young to really work anywhere. So if we weren't at some other type of function or maybe a basketball camp or something like that, man, we just went and picked her up every day and hung out at my house, man, every day throughout that summer. So, yeah, pretty much every day, man.
And this is what's going to happen, man. If you let your kids be at home by themselves or in a room with their boyfriend or girlfriend, which I'm totally against teen dating, then they're going to have sex. I'm surprised y'all didn't have any. Nobody got pregnant. Did y'all use some kind of birth control?
Man, you know, looking back, man, it's just the mercy of God, I think, man. But, you know, we did use condoms. My mom did have a conversation with us about condoms and protection and stuff like that. So we did do that, but it wasn't every single time. And, man, I just think it was just the mercy of God must have been. And I don't know if at some point without my knowledge, maybe she was on some type of birth control. I really can't say, man. But I think ultimately I can't say that it's due to diligence or extreme caution. I think just mercy from God. And you know, again, we did aim to use protection. So I did have enough sense where I did not want to have kids. So,
man, thank God you didn't have a kid with her.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, so you're in that relationship, and, man, we could go into so many details about who she was. Like I said, me and Trey have been close friends, been knowing him since before he was born, and so I pretty much know all these situations. We've been tight for years, and like I said, we want to thank God that no children came out of that relationship, and a lot of people are not that fortunate. But moving right along, that relationship ended in a heartbreak. And Trey talked about that on the first installment. His heart was literally broken. And that's why it's not smart to start relationships, have these kind of relationships at a young age, because somebody's heart is going to get broken. It just is. And he felt his heart breaking on the inside, a pain he's never felt before. He said he had to go to the bathroom. He found out that she had, after they broke up, she found out that she had sex with somebody else, and it broke his heart because, you know, they was each other's first, I believe, right? And
that's correct, yep.
And she moved on really fast to her next partner. Moving right along, I was saying yesterday that you kind of got her back in a sense, because the next person in your life who had a pivotal part of your life was somebody she knew. And and she was older. Now, My wife said, "Did y'all know y'all admitted to statutory rape online?" Okay, so we're not going to get her age or her name or anything. And I guess right. It's beyond the, what is it called, Trey, the statute?
I hope that the statute of limitations has expired at this point, because she moved on and happily married, hopefully, and got kids and all that good stuff. So, yeah, we're definitely going to keep it as anonymous as possible. But, yeah, I was...
This relationship, it happened kind of, it seemed like it started and ended really abruptly. But I remember it weighed heavy on your mind during it. And you was explaining how she was older, and she just turned you out, kind of. She blew your mind.
She did.
we realized on this one you didn't have. You wasn't scared that she might get pregnant. Why were you afraid of that?
You're trying to get me to say it, huh? Well, you know, it's just so crazy, man. Man, I want to keep this as Christian as possible while at the same time being very authentic
keep it holy.
And real.
This is a Christian radio station.
This is Christian radio. And my purpose is, man, to just make this information available so that, you know, kids and parents can really understand, man, what you're being set up for when you enter in this kind of stuff. But ultimately with her, man, the sexual relationship was very oral, because for whatever reason in her mind, again, I was 15, and she was 27, I guess she felt like intercourse was crossing some line, whereas I guess oral sex was more, I don't know, in my mind, I was all for that, it, you know, because at that time in our lives at 15, you know, at least in black culture at the time, man, that was more taboo in a girl's mind, you know, a 15-year-old black girl at least, and so... For her to be more open and willing to do that type of thing, man, was mind blowing for me, and it was just so much pride and fun, and I was just very overwhelmed because I was 15. I didn't have a license, but she was letting me drive her car, stayed at her house a lot, and all this was happening under
that.
The mask of her being a somewhat of a counselor or mentor figure, you know, at a church that I attended. And so it was a very, very bad situation, but it was overwhelming because, again, she was 27 and she just, you know, being with a grown woman was very different, man. And it felt really good. And it was very, it stroked my ego quite a bit. And as you said before, it also made me feel better because, my first girlfriend, who you had just mentioned had really hurt me, man. She knew this girl and could tell that we had something going on. So it made me feel good that she knew that I was messing with this 27-year-old at this church that we were, you know, going to. So
I remember she called me. She called me one day and said she was hurt because she was like, you know, I went to such and such house and Trey opened the door, and she was just hurting. But, you know, that's the name of the game when you start relationships that young. People are going to get hurt, and your heart gets harder, so you want to hurt the other person, but you don't feel sorry for them. It's demonic, really. It really is, man.
It alters you. It does, man. It alters
you,
man.
She thought that if y'all kept it oral, then that would be moral.
Well, I don't know. In some sense, yeah, she did. We had a brief conversation about it, and for whatever reason, she just, until a certain point, and now don't get me wrong, that was going to happen anyway, but I guess in order to preserve that or keep that on the as something to happen at some later point, because she... You know, we're even having discussions about us, you know, being together longer term instead of it, you know, just being like a fling. We had discussions about, you know, as if it wasn't going to just end at some point, you know. So it was very delusional,
but
man. And
it did end, and it ended, like I said, when I think about it, it ended like a stop sign. It was ended abruptly. It got a little messy, I think.
It did.
Grandma got involved. Shout out to Miss Guthrie, man. Miss Guthrie, shout out to her, man. She got involved. I think she threatened the whole organization.
Yes, she did.
She ain't playing.
She went straight
sometimes
to the top
you
of
need
the
a
organization.
Grandmother in your life.
Yeah, man, she was a force to be reckoned with and just a wonderful presence in my life, man. And, yeah, long story short, man, it came to an abrupt when it came to her attention, man, and because it made...
Let me ask you something. When it stopped like that, were your feelings hurt? Because it seemed like I don't remember you being tore up.
It wasn't
about
the crushing type of thing that it was with the first girl, because I wasn't really in love. I was more infatuated and overwhelmed by the nature of the relationship and the sexuality of it, and so it wasn't the type of emotional heartbreak. It was more disappointment and anger, losing something that you really wanted, like you really liked it and enjoyed it, and I was kind of angry and frustrated in that way, more so than just, you know, emotionally heartbroken. Although I did, of course, you naturally develop some affections and feelings for some woman that treats you the way she treated me. But yeah, it wasn't the same.
And how did she
thing.
Treat you? And how did she treat
man,
you?
Man, it was.
I'm just joking. Don't go on. Anyway, let's move right along, man, because that was part two. Now the next one, and I'm not sure if this was actually. I think it is, Trey. Is this next one, is this your next real relationship you had after
yeah,
her?
This is it, man.
This is it.
This is the next real relationship, man.
And I want to start this off by saying, I want to put this in there by saying that the trick of this one, the snare of the devil with this one, is that this girl had a moral, and me and you, I remember at the time, we're starting to, just kind of trying to grow spiritually, trying to be more about the things of God, and she did not want to have sex before she got married.
She did not. And that made me like her more, you know, as a person. When I say like her, not in the sense of go after her to try to have sex with her because she hadn't done it. It made me actually like her more and value her more as a person. Because she had that standing. And then, of course, as men, we just value that just period, you know. But this relationship is very pivotal because several reasons. Number one, it was sneakier because when you're making the mistake of choosing the wrong person, we have all these criteria that we go by, no matter whether they're godly or just selfishly based or carnally or socially based, but, man, whatever they are, man, somebody can meet those criteria and still not be from God at all. It cannot, you can be making a grave mistake. And this girl, man, was that, man. She was beautiful. She was intelligent. She was fun, had a great personality. We had great chemistry. We were like-minded academically and as far as our career aspirations and college and all that stuff, man, we just had a lot in common and really liked each other. And then again, she also was a moral person, you know. And so this is also very pivotal because this is the first time that I received a word from God not to do something, not to be with somebody. Before this, I was just making mistakes. Yeah, before this, I was just making mistakes based on being ignorant, based on, you know, being rebellious, just doing what you want to do as most teenagers do when they haven't been taught right. But at this time, like you said, we had, you know, spent some time around Pastor Scales, or who was at the time, at part of this time anyway, Brother Scales at the time, who was beginning to be more and more of an influence in our life. And, of course, he taught us the truth about Jesus and about holiness, about what godliness is, about what Jesus has called us to do and live like. And so I remember we had been together for maybe a year or something like that, or more than that, and we were getting ready to go to college, but beforehand we were going to go on this trip to the Caribbean island, and her father worked over there, so we got to go stay for a while. And anyway, beforehand, I went out to Brother Scales' house, and now, he had never met her. He knew of her And of course, she knew of him, but him and I had never really had any in-depth conversation about her. And I was happy about that, you know, because I really didn't want that relationship bothered. I didn't want Jesus messing around with that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I was happy with that. And so, man, out of nowhere, man, I walked in his house and I was letting him know, you know, I'm getting ready to go on this trip. And, you know, I did tell him or something anyway. He knew that I was going with her. And, man, this is the first time not only did he speak a word to me from the Lord about her, just period. Nobody had ever in my life said, man, the Lord told me to tell you this. That was new to me, that the Lord would tell somebody to tell you something, that the directness of it. You know, people will give you advice, but this was very different. And it was out of nowhere. He said, man, I'll never forget these words, because it weighed on me from then on after. And I never even told her about it, but he told me that the Lord told me to tell you this relationship is a trap from the devil. Now, that was very heavy on my 18-year-old, unrenewed, very ignorant mind when he said that. He said, man, the Lord told me to tell you this relationship is a trap from the devil. She's not the one. And you're getting close to her emotionally, and you're going to get closer, and y'all been getting ready to go to college together. He said, and it's not from the Lord. He said, and he didn't even expound on what that meant, what the trap was. I didn't even have a clue what that meant. And I remember him telling me, he said, now you're either going to listen to my words and obey them, or you're going to find out that I'm right on down the line. And then we just moved on. He didn't go into trying to convince me. That was it. And I remember leaving there very bothered by that and actually offended in a sense, because it almost seemed like he was saying something about her, and I held her in very high esteem, even though in my heart I knew that she wasn't interested in spiritual things, at least in the sense that I was, or at least in the sense that I thought I was at the time. And so I knew that we weren't necessarily headed in the same direction. We weren't in tune spiritually, but I knew she was a good person. She would tell you that, you know, she believed in Jesus and this, that, and the other, but it bothered me, man. And of course, I went on the trip anyway, and I remember, just to put you in the story, man, I remember being in Target shortly thereafter that, right before going on the trip, and you calling me and telling me, I remember Eric said, Trey, man, the Lord told me to tell you, man, if you don't go on this trip, man, he'll bless you. And, man, I remember being so offended by you saying that, man. I tried to think negatively about it every way I could. I said, oh, man, hey, man, he's been spiritual about 2 seconds, and now you want to hear from God for me not to go to the Caribbean. So, man, you know. But nevertheless, man, in my heart, man, that stuff was bothering me. Something in me knew that it wasn't from the devil. You know, I knew it, you know. And so, but I wanted to make it about
me.
I remember
the Lord telling me that, and I'm like, Lord, because I knew you. I knew you. You know what I'm saying? I knew you. I'm like,
yeah, you know,
he's going. He's ready. But the Lord told me, and that's what they with me. I don't play with the Lord saying something. I don't go around telling people that the Lord said this, and that. I mean, right. He has to really let me know. And when he does, I know it's him. And I remember picking up that phone, like, dialing as slow as possible, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and I had it made up in my mind. I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell him what the Lord says. I don't care what you do, but the Lord wants to give something to you, wants to tell you something, and I'm just going to tell you what he said and leave it alone. And I left it alone. And I remember I forgot about it and kind of years later, and I was like, yeah, I remember that.
Well, you know, man, this stuff is so important, man, and I don't even really like, you know, I don't naturally divulge. I haven't told this story to many people, man, and even the girl, man, who, you know, we're still somewhat, you know, we're friends today. We don't talk much, but I never even divulged this.
No, y'all are not friends.
To her. But, man, you know, this is so important because, man, I remember feeling so much like the part of me that knew that it was God felt like he was trying to take something good from me. And so many young people feel like that, man. It makes them fight God because they believe in God telling them no. They see it as God not loving them. They see it as God trying to take something or keep some good from them. And he's not, man. And man,
we got about 9 minutes. Let me set this up real quick. So you and her was really close. And then when Trey dates you, he don't just date you. He dates your whole family. Trey would go to their house, buy the whole family food, take them out to eat. I mean, Trey, when he gets involved with somebody, he becomes like a husband to everybody. You get close to the little brother, the cousin. I'm like, man, dude, trying to make everybody else look like a terrible boyfriend. But anyway, y'all was extremely close. I think y'all hung out with each other every day. I remember you coming back from the St. Lucia. It was St. Lucia. I remember you coming back, and you was on cloud 12. You had a high amongst all highs. You talked about how fun it was. And you and her, you end up going to the same city to school together. And y'all didn't go to the same college, but you went to, it was in the same city. And it started to get a little rough then.
It did, man. You know, at the time, man, you know, you and I had lived quite a bit by that time in life. We had done some things and clubbed and smoked and drank and had sex and all that kind of stuff. We had had kind of the worldly social life. And
well, I was a virgin when I got married, Trey, but go ahead.
Well, you know, praise the Lord. Eric is in La La Land. But, you know what I'm saying? But man, you know, when we went to college, long story short, man, we began to grow apart, and not even for any bad reason. I think that, you know, she wanted to experience college without having the type of relationship that we had, because it was very close. Like you said, it was as close to a marriage as you can get without really being married, and we didn't necessarily even try to make it that way, but it just was. You know, I was really close with her family. I really loved her family. She had a great family, man, And so anyway, we began to grow apart, and we had this breakup that wasn't, nobody actually said anything, but it was just understood that it wasn't the same. She didn't really want to be together, but didn't really want to say it either. I began to, you know, dislike how the relationship felt to me, but I ignored that because I loved her so much. And so I didn't want to not be with her just out of the love I had, but I can't even say that I enjoyed the nature of the relationship anymore. But so long story short, man, we went through this long breakup, man, and it actually, this was the worst that I'd ever, it felt like a divorce, man. It was devastating to me, man. It really was when you put in all that time and energy and in your heart, and it just kind of disassembles right in front of your face, man. It's devastating, again, in a way that's, again, it's blindsided. You can't plan for it. And it devastated me to the point where I was not able to. The college that I went to was very academically geared. It was a challenge. And I wasn't able to function, man. I ended up coming back here. And during that process of being very depressed, man, my mother wanted me to take some depression medication. And I didn't believe in that and still don't. But and so I fought her on it, and she wanted to introduce me to somebody. She wanted somebody closer to my age to help talk to me, to, you know, I guess whatever, be a confidant. And really she wanted them to get me to convince me to take medication or, you know, believe that I could deal with it clinically. And she introduced this person to me, or brought this person back into my life, I should say, or gave them my number to call me. And this person's name was Markia. And so we became friends. She's a little older than me. She was going through a rough time.
You said her name on the radio. But listen, I wanted to go back a little bit.
I believe everybody knows I'm married to her now. So
yeah, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Because the Lord told you, this relationship, and we're talking about number three, person number three, is a trick or trap from the devil.
Man, Pascal's word, but
like
a trap from the devil, man.
It didn't look like it for a long time. I mean, y'all were saying
it didn't
y'all
look
like a happy
like
couple. And then you
go to
Memphis.
Yeah, I could have easily seen myself marrying her. Yeah, man, I definitely. But it was, it
Memphis.
Did end up being a trap.
You go to Memphis, and then all of a sudden, and I remember me and you just wasn't close during this period of time because you was in a whole other city, and you was depressed when y'all broke up. You went into a depression.
I did.
And I've seen you
really
all kind of ways, but I've never seen you fall into a depression. And it's because you made the decision to keep going with this relationship when the Lord was trying to warn you not to.
That's exactly right, man. And you know, this is so important, man, because if you're blessed enough, man, to have a relationship with a man of God or somebody really anointed to lead you, as the Bible tells us to have, that can speak the word into your life, that can hear from God and give you instruction or warning from the Lord, you are really blessed, man. And the Lord is really trying to love you and keep you from harm. Not necessarily even the person meaning intent to hurt you, because I don't believe she did, but the whole setup, man, it was to detour my life. And
it did. I remember you saying to this day, even when we kind of rap sometime, and you'll say, and it shocked me the first time I heard you say it, but I get it now. But you said the worst decision you made was to stay in, or to get in, or to stay in that relationship.
It was the worst. And you know, that's one thing I learned from the Lord, man. In reading the Bible, man, one thing I learned about the Lord, man, making mistakes and sins and shortcomings and all that is one thing, but the worst kind of disobedience you can have, and when I say the worst, meaning it carries a higher consequence that you're going to have to live with, is when the Lord tell you something and you go against it. And that's what I did there, man. He told me, he warned me, told me to leave her alone. After Pascal said, he said, man, you need to leave her alone. Well, he told me that, man, from the Lord. And what offended me about it was I knew it had to have been the Lord because, man, Pastor Skell didn't even know her. He didn't know anything bad
right.
about her, didn't say anything bad about her. He didn't know her. He said, man, the Lord said. And, man, that was so offensive to me because, you know, I didn't want to believe that. And it's just the worst.
Tell
me. You pay worse, man, when you get those kind of warnings from the Lord and you choose to go against it. And that's what I did, and it did. It was a trap, and it detoured my life. It really did.
Tell me, what was it like? Tell me, what was it like going through that depression? What was your mind? Were you just staying at home, or you just...
Well, man, depression is almost like you go into a darkness, man. You become numb. You become in a state of perpetual hurt. You know, you
never
have
happy.
Pain. No, you're just never happy. You might try to chase happiness to get moments of happiness. I did a lot of eating and watching movies just to try to occupy my mind. But you're never happy, man. You are in a state of perpetual hurt and unhappiness, and you do things to try to get your mind off of whatever it is that's hurt you, but you can't shake it. You can't get it off. And when you go into a real depression like this, man, it damages your functionality. You're not able to function in whatever you're doing in life the way you should, whether it be as a student, athlete, definitely a husband, father, whatever the case may be, it's going to hurt your functionality. And it was just so, you're in a daze. You're not, your decision making, you're not, your judgment's affected. Man, I was literally throwing away my future, my college opportunity without even realizing because you're in a state of numbness to your decisions because you're just so.
All right, man, we got about 50 seconds left, and I guess we're going to have to do another day because the next person is the person you actually married. And the setup right here is that you was in the wrong relationship that the Lord warned you not to get in, and it led you into a depression.
Indeed.
And out of that depression led you kind of vulnerably into another relationship.
The depression actually introduced the person into my life, and then being in the depression, your judgment's so affected, I got involved with somebody that I never, under any ordinary circumstances, would have chosen to be involved with. And so,
wow. Yeah,
it's definitely, next segment's important, man. I want people to learn from my story, man, so that young people, man, really see the importance of of doing it God's way, man. He's really trying to get you blessed and keep you from harm if you listen.
Listen, tomorrow, I don't know when we're going to record it, but you got to tune in. This might be the final chapter. It might take three more episodes because you you went through some stuff and birthed a ministry out of you that God gave you a special anointing to scare the living hell out of people who are thinking about getting involved with the wrong person. This is the Choose to Join radio broadcast, and this is the second one, and we're going to come, we'll probably get part three of Don't Miss God tomorrow. It should be ready around 2 or 3 o'clock. Trey, I love you, and we'll continue tomorrow.
Man, I love you, brother. All right.
All right.